You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Good evening, not morning. So amidst the fragrance of hay and the gentle lowing of cattle, heaven touched earth and Mary brought forth her precious son. On that silent night, a new chapter in humanity's story began. The Advent season is a time to remember and rejoice in the truth that our Savior's birth brought us into intimate fellowship with our Creator. Through Jesus, the Trinity took on flesh, inviting us into a sacred communion of holiness. Tonight, we light the presence candle, representing the profound reality of God with us. Gathered here together, we cultivate hearts of worship, knowing we can come into his presence with confidence and find rest for our souls. In Psalm 100, we witness a profound call to worship, a lyrical exhortation to enter the sanctuary of God with praise, recognizing we are in the presence of our wonderful Creator, whose goodness is our joy for all time. This final candle completes our Advent wreath. May these lights be an invitation to worship with hearts full of gratitude for God's abiding love. Give thanks to him. So now we're going to read our focal passage, which is Psalm 100, 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray.
Thanks be to God. Lord, as we close this Advent season, help us to recognize your nearness and draw closer to you in worship and prayer. Fill us with a deep sense of your presence so that we may experience the fullness of joy and peace found in you alone. In the name of Jesus, our Emmanuel, we pray. Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, thanks for that. Knock, knock. Oh, this isn't joke time, but there are certain truths or actions that require certain responses. When someone says knock, knock, you say, who's there? Or maybe a common saying around here, whether you're fans of particular sports teams or not, if someone says, OH, people respond and say, there was a group of us in Guatemala looking over Antigua, this ancient city or whatever, and someone yelled that, OH. Someone had some Buckeyes gear on or whatever, and so that's clearly universal. If you see a bear in the woods, you run, right? I don't care if you're supposed to say, hey, bear, or get big, or don't. No, when you see the bear, you run. That's what you do. That action requires a certain response. Maybe if I were to say something like this, like, are you ready, kids? See, right? Action, response. Or I always tell my kids, if you want to get the attention of a room full of people who are about my age, there's one thing that you can say, right? And you'll always get their attention, and it's this. Regulators! See? And some people are like, what? What? It's okay, look it up, or don't. That's just fine. Today, Eve, we come together to read and sing and pray and sit under God's word together to remind us of the first Christmas. That's what we've been singing about and reading about. Christmas. A time to reflect and celebrate, to give and receive, and most of all, a time to know God because he has made himself known. In John chapter 1, in John's gospel, he tells us this. He's talking about Jesus. He's setting up the whole book that's going to unfold the life of Jesus. And he says, among many other things, he says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, for he has made him known in the person Jesus. The author of Hebrews chapter 1, he's talking of Jesus, and he says he's the radiance of the glory and the exact imprint of the nature of God. So what is God like? He is like Jesus. Jesus is God. Christmas, beyond the lights and the gifts and family and friends and kids singing and candles being lit and parties and busyness and Hallmark and Home Alone, the heartbeat of the season, the reason why we set aside a season like this, the reason why many churches come together and light candles in this Advent season as we look back at Christ's first coming and we await his second coming, is to help God's people remember Christ our Lord has made his presence with his people. He has dwelt among us as the crescendo of God's ultimate plan to save and reestablish what was lost. God dwelling with humanity like a game designer putting on pixels and hopping into a game, and yet that's exactly what he did, not merely as a baby in a manger, but as Savior who lived, who was tempted, who taught, who never sinned, who remained faithful to his Father, who suffered, who died, who rose, who ascended, who reigns, and who will return once again. And as with anything, the beginning, Christ in a manger, is only it only matters so much to us because we know how it ends. This truth in action, that Christ has come, that he has dwelt among us, it meets you all in different places, and it requires a response. It is a truth which requires a response. So maybe you find yourself here tonight, and you know him, and you're here to delight in the reality of who God is as he came forth in a manger. Maybe this Eve is an overflow of your life and you're here to sing and rejoice. Maybe you're here and you are unsure who he is or how to respond, and you're curious, or you came to see the grandkids or because a neighbor invited you and you're curious, but you're not really sure. And I would say that's okay. Like, we are super glad that you're here. Or maybe you're here and you are just filled with disbelief and you are hardened against God. Maybe you've been hurt, been hurt by friends, been hurt by the church. All right, I get that. And yet you're here. And man, I'm super thankful that you are. And my prayer is for all of us, wherever we find ourselves, wherever these truths meet us in our life, in our minds, in our hearts, my prayer is that God's Spirit through his word would melt us, that he would conform us into his image, that we might know him and that we might respond in a way that gives thanks for who he is. This Eve, give thanks to the God who is present and forever faithful, right? That's what we're going to see in this Psalm, Psalm 100. Give thanks is a series that we've been working through. It's in the Psalms of Gratitude. And for those of you who don't know, the Psalms are a collection of song books and a collection of songs from the Old Testament. So this is pre-Christ in the manger by at least about 1,000 years. And yet we see these truths. And in this psalm, we learn 3 truths about God and 3 ways to respond to God. And so I want to read this one more time, Psalm 100. And as Scott said, I will preach today shorter than I usually do, if only just. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. He is steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So we get to know the Lord and give thanks. So what do we learn from him in these 5 verses in this psalm? Well, one, we learn this, that he is creator. We get to learn that the Lord is creator. There's only one maker of all things, and it's the one that we're singing about, the one that we came here to sing about tonight, the one that we pray to, the one that we're talking about right now. He is our creator. It says he is God. It is he who made us. Secondly, he is our shepherd. Maybe that's lost on some of us in certain generations in this place, but the God of the Old Testament cared for his people. Christ in the New Testament is called the Good Shepherd because he knows his sheep and he leads his sheep and he feeds his sheep. He protects his flock. That's what God does for his people. So he's creator, he is shepherd, and he is good. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generation. Of what other can it be said that he has created all things? None. There are many content creators out there, and some people making a lot of money selling terrible content, right? But there's only one who made all of the content creators, right? There's only one who has created all things. He is a shepherd, and he guides. He has his sheep in their best interest in mind, knowing them, feeding them, leading them, protecting them, caring for them, leading them beside still waters and green pastures. And he is good. In contrast to all that isn't, he shines bright against the darkness of every evil in every sense, to the extent that he came with the purpose of defeating it and rescuing his people from darkness. So how do we respond to those truths, to that reality, to who he is? What is our response when we hear God's deeds, who he is and what he has done, the knock-knock that requires our response? Well, he tells us in this psalm. He tells us how we get to respond. He says that we get to live to make true joy known. He says it this way, make a joyful noise to the Lord. But he's not just talking about and everywhere that you go, play the instrument or bang the drum or whatever. He's saying with your whole life, live to make the fullness of joy known. One, inside of you, believe that to be true. But in the way that you live your life, live to make that joy known to all who are around. Secondly, we get to serve him. And you say, oh gosh, serving is the worst. No, we get to serve him with gladness, the cheerful heart. Serve the Lord with gladness. What would make us do that? It's because it's not something that we have to do. We can't earn him. We get to respond to the grace that he has given us so that we might serve him as the joy of our life gladly. And thirdly, we get to draw near to his presence. He says, come into his presence singing. But how? How can we enter into God's presence? Singing, no less, right? We say this all the time. No one can sing in a bad mood. I mean, I guess there are some songs that you could sing and be in a bad mood. But most of these songs, they're upward. And so imagine walking into the throne room of a kingdom with a king on a throne. He has all the power that this world could give him. Imagine just singing joyfully, whistling, snapping your fingers, gladness and delight. No, you take a knee and you're silent and you're somber. And he says, we get to join him. We get to walk into not the greatest king on the earth, the one who flung the stars and the planets, the greatest king of all the kings, the greatest lord of all the lords, and we get to waltz into his presence, not arrogantly, humbly serving him with gladness, drawing near to his presence. And we get to do that because he first came to us. That is the big deal of Christmas, that God has revealed himself, and not as some God far off, but in the real world where we live, in real homes, in real minds, in real hearts. in living rooms, in the car, and even in this room here tonight. You know the kind of sitcom trope or the scene that's probably played over 1,000 times, or maybe it's the story of your life, and that's okay too, where there's like a line of people and they're like waiting to get into the club. And the club is representative, you know, it's represents the fullness of life. It's young and beauty and socially connected and maybe rich and popular and all the things that the world says are really, really important. So there's the line of people, and then you have like these classic kind of stereotypical things. You have the fake ID girl that comes up and the bouncer's there, and he's either accepting people or he's rejecting people. And you have the girl comes up and he looks at the ID and he says, you know, no way, girl, this is not you. And then you have the line cutter, the guy who gets to the front of the line, and the bouncer says, hey, no way, pal, back of the line, right? And then you have the one that probably meets the age requirement and maybe could actually get in there legally, but doesn't quite fit the vibe of the club. And the bouncer says something like, not tonight, buddy. Like, maybe another night, right? And then you have the guy, the he's with me guy, who walks up and just his whole crew just walks on in. No questions asked. See, in the kingdom of God, you cannot fake ID your way in. There's no false credentials. There's no, oh man, I went to church my whole life. There's no, hey, my grandpa was a pastor. There's no, you know, I served in the nursery. There's no degree or resume. Do you know how many church planters I know that aren't even walking with Jesus anymore? Like, there's no fake ID. There's nothing that you could do to cheat your way in. There's no cutting. Right? There's no cut or cheat that can get you in. The standard for getting into the kingdom is God's goodness. And we learn time and time again throughout the scripture that none of us have that. None of us can do that. You can't fit the part or the vibe enough to get in, to hear the words, enter in, well done, my good and faithful servant. Our absolute only hope in the kingdom of God is he's with me. And that he and that me is Jesus. He is the one. This is why Christmas matters. He's with me. We get to be with him because he has made himself known. And it's not because it's Jesus' origin story. Right, he doesn't have an origin story, but because it's his origin story with us in the flesh. And it was that flesh that would be beaten and called guilty for sin that's not his own, but ours, so that we might be forgiven of ours, freed, welcomed in as good and faithful sons and daughters, not by our own works, by his works. And here's the thing, it's not into some musty, dusty club with a promise of a shallow life, but he welcomes us into eternal life, the abundant life, socially connected in ways that this world can only pretend to be, connected with the unbreakable crimson threads woven by the blood of Jesus. This is the truth. This is the action. This is the knock knock. And so what we get to do for the next few minutes is figure out how we respond to that, right? Give thanks to the God who is present and forever faithful. There will be some questions on the screen. Someone would love to pray with you over by that red tree over there as the band comes on up and continues to lead us in song. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for nights like this where we get to come together, even on a Saturday evening. Lord, even while the Bengals are just getting their butts whooped. What a gift to see kids sing truths that they might only know kernels of. Would you let those truths grow and produce fruit in trees. God, would you let us respond the only way that we can by giving thanks to you, our good God, in Jesus' name, amen.